This is Beyond the Farm Gate, a show where we shine a light on great Australian stories in agriculture.
On the show, you'll hear from farmers who survive challenges like fire, flood and drought, people who run innovative and unique agribusinesses, and those who are balancing work and family in rural Australia.
You'll be inspired hearing their stories and pick up some insights along the way. I'm Beck Wren.
I'm Greg Kugel.
And I'm Zali Thomas.
Today, we're chatting with John Clothy. John is a fourth-generation broadacre cropping and livestock farmer near Sea Lake in the Victorian Mallee, which has undergone some significant expansion over his farming career. If being a successful farmer isn't enough, John is passionate about his local community and the need for small country towns to thrive so that they can attract younger people and the next generation. John can be best described as a can-do man, not one to just talk about what should happen, but to roll up his sleeves and do it. In this story, you will hear how John spearheaded the local community to buy and operate a rundown derelict pub and turn it into a major attraction for locals and visitors. His is a great story of a farmer who not only runs a very successful farming business, but importantly, understands the need for community and has a deep passion to not let his local town die a slow death. It's a great story. Let's jump in. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Greg.
So, John, you're a fourth-generation farmer between Swan Hill and Sea Lake. And for those who may not be familiar with the Victorian Mallee, can you tell me a bit about what the seasons, the soils, the rainfall and the crops are that you grow in the Mallee?
Yeah, well, we're at 12-inch rainfall. We grow wheat, barley, lentils, peas, canola, a bit of hay, predominantly that sort of stuff throughout through the seasons. The last two seasons have been absolute beauties, and ones before that have been not too bad.
You've had a couple of poorer ones in the middle there too of your farming career, I expect too.
Yeah, we've had a few droughts, yes, 82, and in the 90s it's pretty dry, and interest rates and dryness usually drives farmers off the farm, so that's what normally kills them.
Yeah, well, you've obviously survived it. So you run a large sheep feedlot operation on your farm. How that started and how that's sort of grown over the 35 years?
Oh, well, Dad used to love his sheep. And, 35 years ago, I suppose we started feeding a few of our own lambs to finish them off because we could never finish them off. And it just grew from there. We built one feedlot and then we built another one and then we built another one and now got capacity for 25,000. So we run that. We do a bit of commercial feeding for the northern blokes when it's dry and a bit for meat companies and a lot for ourselves. Yeah, and we've got a couple of blokes that love trading sheep, so they come and finish them off in the feedlot as well. That was going really well before COVID, but COVID hit and everything sort of was downturned. It's sort of back to only run about 30-40% at the moment.
And that's your own grain going through that?
Yeah, own grain, so it value adds your grain and everything like that, so it all just helps with the farming sector.
No, that's a big operation. And your main operation is obviously broadacre cropping. Obviously, you've been farming for a long time. But what's some of the technology and the farming practices that you've sort of implemented over your farming career that's really changed and improved the way that you farm?
The biggest change is minimum till. That's been massive for the Mallee. And the technology with the all the technology with the tractors and with the auto steer and the, you know, the RTK and all that sort of stuff, it's just been enormous. How much technology's come into the farming sector, which has brought improvement in our yields. Also, it's brought younger people back to the farms, which is, I've never seen so many young ones on farms for years, like since I first come back from school in 1980. You know, like it's just, the joint's just booming with them. So it's been really good to see that. And there's been a bloke that's started all that sort of stuff. Danny Conlon come back from uni. He was a local boy and he come back on the farm and he started his agronomy group and he just really changed the Mallee. He'd be a good story for you.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We might chase him up. And were you an early adopter of minimum till or you sat back and waited a bit
I sat back for about 2 years, two or three years and just watched. And then I thought, well, yeah, we had a lot of summer rain. I was sick as so we just started spraying instead of working the country and it worked actually in the light country up where we brought up at Waitchi, it really thrived and the heavy country took a bit to get a hold of it, but it's improved the soil types there, and where water used to lie in clay pans and all that's all gone. It was a First time, not last year, the year before, I seen water lying in there because it was that wet during the harvest. Yeah, it was the first time in, we've been direct drilling for a fair few years. So, yeah, no, it's really improved everything.
And it's obviously allowed you to get to the scale of where you are as well?
Yes, we grew with good yields, with money, and you've got to grow, and we've got a young bloke on the farm. So me, your son runs all that, and, yeah, we've just been continuing growing the farm as we go. So it's really helped. And it's lessened the workload as well. Like, you'd be sitting on a tractor all night working country up, and when it rains, you know, you'd be going 24 hours a day, and yeah. You don't do that. You just sit back and wait for weeds to grow and then go and spray them. And when you're sowing, you're only using the tractor once, and, yeah, it's all done. It's really exciting farming if you're really into it.
And as you said, bringing a lot of younger ones along as well, which I think might come through the story as we go. So, John, I'm keen to give the listeners, I suppose, some insight into your local town, which is Sea Lake, and the community. Can you explain, we've got people all over the country, can you explain where Sea Lake is, its history, and what's the draw card for the town?
Well, Sea Lake's a small country town. It's about 75 k's from Swan Hill, and Swan Hill's on the Murray, so it's in northern Victoria. It's a little place. In its boom in the 1970s, there was 1,300 people there at one stage. Now it runs about 600, and it's wheat farming. We rely on wheat farming plus machinery business and hospitals and that sort of thing, schools to survive. And it's got a salt works out the road that does 200,000 tonne a year. And, yeah, now with that salt works, I've discovered that lake, Lake Tyrrell, has become a major tourist attraction, and now everyone's painting silos. Everyone comes to look at them. So it's amazing. The Sea Lake sort of turned into a bit of a tourist town when it's not too hot. When it's hot, you don't see anyone, but when it's not. The Chinese found the lake and it's just gone berserk since then.
No, exactly. That's great. And you've had a lifelong passion for local community in Sea Lake through your community and obviously sporting groups. What's been your really driving force to commit so much of your time during your life and effort into this?
I'm just like, we just want to see our town survive and make the place better for our kids. That's the main aim. Mum and Dad did it. Everyone chips in and does their bit. So you've got to do your bit to keep it alive. And if you want to keep young ones there, you've got to put your hand up and hopefully they do stand up behind you, which they are. It's really good to see the kids follow behind and take over roles that you used to do. And, yeah, it's very, very pleasing, actually.
What's some of the community groups you've been involved, like the sporting groups and so forth, and what have you done there?
Yeah, I'm mainly sporting groups, cricket and football mainly. I've done a lot with that. The schools, we've been involved in that, I've been on the committee of that, and I haven't been in a line or anything like that. So just what I really enjoyed, I did. And the complex committee, I've been on that, and just doing your bit when you can. It's just all time frame too, because you've got a family, so you can't spread yourself too sort of thin. So just helped out when I can. If there's working bees, everyone just goes. It's a good little community.
That's great. So obviously we'll get on to the very interesting story of a community buying the Royal Hotel in Sea Lake in a minute. But before, it all started with a local hardware store. Can you tell me how a community ended up buying and operating a hardware store?
Yeah, well, the hardware store closed down. Bloke from Swan Hill owned it and Bunnings come in there, so he panicked and just closed it. So we couldn't buy a washer in town. So when that closed down, one of the pubs closed down and we thought, oh, here we go. So we opened up, I called a meeting at, and we up the complex and one night, and we had 150 there, so we got a few of us together and we made a committee. We had 68 investors, so we opened up the hardware store, and that's become a real good successful story. There's 2 to 3 people working there. So when we opened it up, a bloke was coming in and getting stuff to, he was doing up the other pub, he said. So I said, yeah, righto. And anyway, one day down the bottom pub, it was closed and about 500 coppers were there, and there's 1,500 marijuana plants in the joint. So that was pretty that was pretty exciting for the town. And then about a couple of months later, it burnt down. So anyway, then when it burnt down, the top one closed. So we didn't have anything.
The top pub?
Yeah, the top pub. It closed. So he just walked out. The bloke who was running it just walked out. So it was closed for about 18 months. And then there's a notice on the door, Commonwealth Bank, repossession sale, and have a fire sale. So I rang up, come home to Beth and said, we should be buying the pub. And she said, you're mad. So anyway, so we got another, Andrew McClellan was keen on doing something. So I rang him, and he was a director of the hardware as well. Yeah, I rang him and I said, you keen on? He said, yeah, my brother-in-law's here. He's a builder, so we'll go and have a look. So we broke in and climbed all through.
You broke
it
into the pub?
Yeah, broke into the pub. Yeah. Didn't take much. He left it in a bloody mess. Anyway, we climbed all through the roof. We spent all day there in the cellar and everything. And yeah, we thought, well, this would be a good go. So we got a couple of us together. And by the time the auction came, I think we raised about $400,000. And we brought it for $180,000. And then we're just going to do it as a company because some people are a bit funny with alcohol and stuff like that. So we had the phone kept on ringing. So yeah, the people want to invest, same as the hardware. So we got 40 investors. And yeah, we started doing up from top to tail. Yeah, we just totally gutted the place. And everyone sort of pitched in. We had a working bee and we took out 28 truckloads of rubbish out of the pub and 70 or 80 showed up. We had it all done by that morning. So, no, it's been an eye-opener and it's been a good community project for the community, you know. They all banded together and really wanted something. So now we've got a really good functioning pub. So it's been a good story. We've had an investor from Geelong. He's an oncologist. He was born in Sea Lake. So he come down, invested, and a bloke who delivers fuel up here from Drysdale, he did it. And older people invested down to young ones. So they've all got a piece in the pie.
And can you tell me, I suppose, how the Royal Hotel now operates and how it looks today? So if one of our listeners actually walked in the front door of the Royal Hotel today, what would they see and what would they experience?
They'd see a totally renovated old pub. It's beautiful. Yeah. We didn't have any. Someone said, oh, you haven't got graphic designers and all that? And I said, no, just the locals had their ideas. And you walk in, you have fully renovated rooms with air conditioners and tallies and fans and the big high ceilings. It's a two-story place. It's just come up a treat. And you get accommodation there and get a lot of walk-ins and a lot of bookings. So, no, they really enjoy themselves. We got a chef out of Melbourne that runs the kitchen and we lease that out to him and people come from everywhere for his feeds. So it's been really good.
How does it operate on a day-to-day? Obviously, the kitchen's rented out to someone else, but how does the rest of the pub operate and how many people are you employing?
Yeah, we've got a full-time manager and it's fully staffed, so there's no volunteers at all. So it's all ran by her. We got a board of directors. There's six of us. So we have a meeting once a month or once every 2 months. If it's cropping, it'll be 2 months. And we just sit down, we get a manager's report, we get a finance report, we got jobs to do, we make a list and get things done. And yeah, so it all just works pretty well. And the manager's been really good. And we had a manager from Melbourne, which she left and now she's come back because she missed the joint so much. So, and she created, see, our wine sales are the same as our beer sales. You wouldn't see that in the Mallee, would you? Yeah, that's from tourism. So she created that with a lot of good wines and we've sort of piggybacked, or our new manager has piggybacked on that and she's been excellent.
And what does the future hold for the Sea Lake community and the community-owned hardware store and pub? You know, have you got any other purchases or businesses on the horizon or is it a wait and see?
The supermarket's community-owned, been community-owned since the 60s. That's a company. And there's a shared shop just up the road that they just, people make their produce and they just put stuff in their shared shop. Yeah, there's been a new gym. A lady's invested a heap of money in Sea Lake and put a state-of-the-art gear there for gym and all that sort of stuff. So it slowly is growing. It is getting, but yeah, as for community projects, I think we might be exhausted. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But there's a big opening for someone to come in and do a lot of tourism and tourists and we have got one tourism information centre, but there's probably more. See, like in that field, you need someone that really knows what they're doing. And we're farmers, we're not tourist operators. So, yeah, we're just mucking around with a pub and it's working because we've got a good local community and good tourism. Like a lot of people from Melbourne and Geelong come through and they love it. So it's good.
That's great. And finally, John, you know, you obviously told us about the highlights of Sea Lake. Here's your opportunity. What's your sales pitch for the listeners for why they should come to Sea Lake and why they should visit and even spend a night at the Royal Hotel?
Oh, well, come and enjoy the experience. It's good. Yeah. Now, people who do come, they enjoy themselves. There's free camping out the back for caravans and the lakes. Well, the lake's had a lot of money spent on it. It's picturesque and, yeah, beautiful ski lake out the road and, yeah, the silos are nice and yeah, it's a good atmosphere and it's, yeah, there's no crime up here, not much anyway. No, come and visit and you won't be sorry, I don't reckon. But, yeah, no, we do get a lot of tourists and a lot of old retired people and young ones and, you know, it's been good. It's created a bit of interest in the joint.
And it's created a bit for, I suppose, something for the younger people and the local people, like the younger generation too.
You know, like people that come in the community, like the some of the women that marry the farmers' wives, they're pretty successful people, some of those ladies, and they like getting done up and going out for dinner. And so we put a few cocktail parties on up at the on the balcony and that sort of thing, sort of, and create a nice atmosphere for them. And they get in there and get dressed up and they enjoy it. You know, they've got a young family and... So we made it family friendly. They bring their kids along. We've got a kids' room and, you know, they need something to get away because they used to, a lot of them come from Melbourne or Bendigo or Geelong. We've got one lady from Scotland that's married a farmer and she's a ripper. And, you know, there's some pretty successful people in the Mallee that come into the Mallee and people don't know what their previous life was and they enjoy it. So if we make it things better, people will stay. That's the secret. And if we keep improving and make a community that everyone wants to be there and they're proud of, well.
No, that's great. All right, so now it's time for our quick fire round. So I've got a few questions that I'm going to ask you in rapid succession. So there's two rules to this, John. One is that you've got to keep the answers to a minimum of one sentence and you have to answer it with the first thing that comes into your mind. So we'll fire away. If you weren't in the job you're in now, what would you be doing?
On the dove.
Sound like you love your job. If you could change to another part of agriculture, what area would you be in?
Irrigation.
What's the best lesson you've learned from a mistake, a stuff-up or a failure?
Everyone stuffs up.
If you could have a superpower, what would it be?
Find Saturday night's Tats Lotto numbers.
And finally, when you're on the farm, what brand of work boots do you wear?
Bloodstones at the hardware store.
All right. Hard, yeah, got that. That's great. So, John, look, thanks for joining the show. Look, as a someone that obviously doesn't live too far away from you, I have been to the Sea Lake Royal Hotel pub a few times, and I can vouch it is a spectacular building when you walk into it. From the outside, it looks like a typical country pub, and when you walk in, you've done a magnificent job doing it up, and the meals are fantastic. And I know a few people that have actually stayed there and people that have come specifically to Sea Lake to stay at the pub for the night and enjoy the experience. And I could certainly vouch it's a magnificent asset for the town, and it's great to see what you and the local community have done for the locals, but also for everybody else. So it's a credit to you, and it's great to see that you're not willing to let the local town die. So congratulations and well done.
Everyone's pitched in, so that's what community's about. Everyone just pitches in and does what they got to do. And if everyone does their bit, it becomes a better place, doesn't it?
Exactly. All right, thanks for joining us on the show, John.
Righto, good on you, Greg. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Beyond the Farm Gate, a podcast by Rural Bank where we shine a light on great Australian stories in agriculture.
Rural Bank supports the agribusiness community by providing financial services, knowledge and leadership for Australian farmers to grow. For more information, including regular analysis and reports, head to the website ruralbank.com.au.
This show was produced with strategy and production support from Wavelength Creative. To make sure you don't miss an episode of Beyond the Farm Gate, be sure to subscribe to or follow the show in your podcast app. And while you're there, leave us a 5-star review. It really helps others find the show. I'm Zali Thomas.
I'm Greg Kugel.
And I'm Beck Wren. And we'll see you in the next episode of Beyond the Farm Gate.